James Senegal once said, "Technology helps us become more efficient and productive, but our business still has a lot of art as opposed to strictly science." Are you tinkering, self-learning, self-improving, experimenting with home labbing? And do you want to become a skilled IT expert? Well, you've found your new home. This is the Home Labbers Podcast. On this show, we'll interview top experts and dig deep to learn how they got started and how they train their IT skills as a master martial artist in a Shaolin temple. And you know what? We're going to have fun along the way. This is the Home Labbers Podcast. And now your host, Vian Du.
All right, let's do this.
Jesper, welcome to the podcast. So excited to have you on the podcast.
Thanks, Vianu, and thanks for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Before we dive into the home labbing topic, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Yeah, sure. So my name is Jesper. I'm 32 years old. I live in the Netherlands. Married, daughter, and been working in the IT space for, I think, a little bit over 10 years now. I'm currently employed as an EUC consultant at ITQ Consultancy, a name typically well known. So I work with all things VMware Horizon, Workspace ONE, some Carbon Black, and also some vSphere stuff.
How did you get started with home labbing, and where did you get the idea?
How did I get started? I actually bought a secondhand server a couple of years ago, just because that was the most bang for buck I could get at that moment. Seeing as there's always a wife acceptance factor, it's always difficult to spend too much money on it. And why or where did I get the idea? I think it was because a colleague of mine had a home lab, and he was doing some interesting stuff with it. So I thought I need to do that myself as well, so I can develop my skills a little bit further.
So what were the reasons behind of this? You started with your home labbing.
Yeah. Like I just mentioned, it was I wanted to develop my skills a little bit further. You can do only so much at a customer environment. You can't really do a break fix scenario unless something is really broken. But it also, I think it also helps with certifications. There's some hands-on certifications nowadays at VMware, and you can do some really good simulations of those. And I think that really helps in preparing for those exams and passing them.
What was your first home lab project?
My first home lab project was getting everything up and ready. So I bought a secondhand server with only a single Intel processor and only a little bit of memory. So the first thing was to get up, get ESXi installed and running. But as I don't have any network equipment, I had to do I had to use VLAN 4095 so I could basically create all VLANs within my nested environment. And after that, I was just running Active Directory, SQL Server, File Server, all those basic core infrastructure components to take it to the next level and start working with VMware products.
And how did your first home lab look like? Like, can you go in deep dive?
Yeah, sure. So it's a custom built super microsystem, and it's a case this big. I still have it next to my desk. I don't really know the exact type of motherboard anymore, but so there's a Intel Xeon processor in it, two nowadays with 10 cores each. Only, unfortunately, only 1.7 or 1.8 gigahertz. So that's not that much, but at least the core count is pretty high. There's a 120 gigs of RAM in it. And I installed an NVMe 1 terabyte SSD with one of those PCIe NVMe adapters, just so I had some pretty fast local storage.
And how your home lab looks right now, and what do you have now there, and what software you're running?
So I'm still running ESXi as my main hypervisor. You might spot me looking at the side because I'm looking at my home lab at that moment. So I've increased the memory even further. I'm running 265 gigabytes of memory right now on that single host, and running 2 terabytes of NVMe storage. And I actually have a second host nowadays. I have a second ESXi host with also an Intel Xeon processor, but one at a pretty much higher clock speed. This one runs at 3 gigahertz, only has 64 gigs of memory, but it's better suited for VDI workloads because those typically require a higher clock speed, and I can deal with with the lower amount of memory. And I think that's one of the coolest things. There's an NVIDIA vGPU in it, so that's really cool. I can run vGPU 3D workloads right from my main cable, my office. Either way, one thing perhaps interesting to add, because I did nested networking at my first host. So when I added the second host, I had to expand on that. And I have a Synology NAS in my utilities closet, I think. That's the proper word in English. And I'm running a virtual pfSense firewall on that. So I can actually route the traffic, because otherwise I don't have a physical router. Yeah, boo, I know. Still haven't found a suitable one yet. So I'm using a virtual pfSense right now to run on different VLANs and being able to route between those.
But on GPU, you mentioned you have a GPU. What is the reason and how you're using it?
So I work in EUC, so I run a lot of VDI project at customers. And vGPUs are used more and more in those. So having that vGPU at home, I'm able to simulate customer environments or customer issues as well when they're trying to run a 3D workload which isn't fully running properly. So I can actually test things and simulate things, so I can come better prepared to those customer meetings and actually provide them for quite an accurate solution.
And do you know how much power takes your home lab?
No, I'm afraid to measure it as well. It doesn't run 24/7. I typically shut it down when I don't use it anymore, and I powered it on when I do. So at worst, it runs at 10 hours a day, but that's only once or twice a week. But that's still something on my to-do list. But I'm not sure if I will be willing to share the results, especially not with my wife.
And how did you fund your home lab?
It was just with my salary. I had some spare money. Spare money sounds a bit crazy when you have a full-time job, but I have another expensive hobby, which is road cycling. So having some spare money is kind of rare. But yeah, like I mentioned, I bought a secondhand server just to spare money or to save money. And then I bought some additional hardware, like the RAM and the storage from the internet. And the second host actually came to work, so that saved me a lot of money as well. So I can use the vGPU and things like that without having to pay for it. So that's another benefit.
How much knowledge have you gained while having a home lab?
Oh, that's a good one. I don't know if there's a table for that how I could describe it, but that's a lot. If I just look at what my knowledge and skill level was when I first got it and where it is right now, that's insane. I've learned so much. I've tried so many products which I otherwise wouldn't have touched, just because it's kind of out of my work area. But that it gave me the opportunity to work with those products and take them for a spin, even for a little one. But yeah, I think that's huge.
What is the most memorable home lab story you like to share?
Oh, I think that was when I was actually setting up that second or that new pfSense firewall. I've done the configuration before because I had a pfSense firewall running in my in version one of my home lab, but for some strange reason, I just couldn't get those inter VLAN traffic to work. And I've been banging my head on it for, I think, two nights straight. And I did something. I can't even remember what. I don't think I can even grasp what I actually did, but it just started working. I was like, okay, hands off, close the laptop. I'm done for the day, for today and for the rest of the week. And ever since then, it's been working great. I haven't been able to simulate or to grasp on what changed. It just started to work, and whatever.
Do you have any scary or funny HomeLab story?
Yeah, I think I actually have a scary one, because when I first got the system, it was a secondhand system, but it wouldn't always boot. So that was like, I kind of bought a cat in the bag, but I was afraid that I bought something that was broken or partially broken. So I took it apart. And when you assemble a computer, you have those small buses which you put between the screw hole and the motherboard, so you can tighten the screws in that. And there was one at a spot where there was no screw; it was just touching the motherboard, and it was kind of shortcutting it. So I removed that, and ever since it's been running great. But it kind of scared me at the beginning, because I thought I spent a lot of money and gained only so much.
What do you also think about you when they see your HomeLab?
How many computers do you actually have? That's the most. That's the first question I get, because I think it's they're stacked on top of each other, so they're just as big as the desk itself. And I typically ask, okay, so what is that? Why is it so big? And if it's running, why am I hearing it? And it's not like it's making a lot of noise, but yeah, it makes more noise than a standard laptop. So, but once I explain it to people, I think that they typically understand and see the benefits from it.
Have you changed your fans on your HomeLab servers?
Yeah, I actually have. So I replaced the stock Intel CPU coolers that came with my first host, because those made a big noise. It was just like an airplane jet taking off, and I bought one of the Cooler Master CPU coolers, and it's been silent ever since. It was a bit of a juggle getting it in, because those coolers were pretty big, and I had to place two on it, of course, instead of only one. But it fit, and it runs a lot more silent, and it's a lot cooler as well. So that's I'm really happy with it. And I would change the fans on the second system as well. I changed the so that's pretty cool that we had that VGPU in it, because that produces a lot of heat. So one of my colleagues used a 3D printer to create a fan intake for it, so we could mount an extra fan on it. But I replaced that fan as well, because it was kind of noisy. At a benefit, it's silent, and it keeps the GPU a lot cooler as well. So that's great.
What GPU are you using?
It's a P40, an NVIDIA P40. So that's still an acceptable size, and it can... it's powerful enough for what I want to do with it. That's the most important thing. But there are more powerful cards nowadays, but that's not really... I don't think that's necessary for my use cases.
What is HomeLab for you?
Oh, I think it's so much. One, it is a part where you can gain knowledge, and where I gain a lot of knowledge. But it's also a place to relax. Work on new technology is something that appeals to me, so that it's always fun to do. Unfortunately, I don't have that much time for it nowadays with a daughter and being busy at work, but I really enjoy the evenings that I spend in it, right? Trying new software, working on ironing out bugs, or trying different things. But yeah, it's great. I love it.
Can we go a little bit back with about your HomeLab? And can you a little bit more explain how you're using and what software you're running more about?
Yeah, sure. So I'm currently running ESXi 7.0. I think it's update 3 on both of them. So basically, I have two hosts. One runs my management workloads, which runs Active Directory, vCenter, file server, SQL, anything like that. And the other one is just dedicated for VDI. So that basically runs Windows 10 and Windows 11 virtual machines. In terms of software, I think that everything is currently running at Windows Server 2016. And everything that I'm deploying from this moment on is based on 2019 or 2022. There's some Workspace ONE components on it, because I run a lot of Workspace ONE related projects as well. So there's the AirWatch Cloud Connector, for those that know it. There's the Workspace ONE Access on-prem connector to sync VMware Horizon workloads or Active Directory user accounts to Workspace ONE Access. So I run Workspace ONE, VMware Horizon. That's the latest version, 22.0 something. sorry. Don't know the exact version. I run Ad Volumes. I run Dynamic Environment Manager. So basically the entire EUC portfolio was present. The Workspace ONE kits are actually SaaS. So that's cool. I don't have to run those on-prem, but I can consume those as a service, which has the added benefit that they're maintained and updated by VMware. So that takes a lot of the pain out from it, especially those that know the architecture for both solutions. That's not something you run easily on-prem if you don't have the adequate resources for it. So beyond that, I run NSXT with some nested ESXi workloads just because I have a huge interest for networking as well, even though I don't work on it that often. So I'm able to run some NSXT workloads, do some things with load balancing. I have some Avi load balancers as well for my Horizon workloads. Trying to think of what's running more on it, but I think it's currently pretty limited to everything surrounded Horizon and Workspace ONE. I wanted to know about the fans, right?
Yes.
So it's the Cooler Master Hyper 212 Black Edition, to be exact. So I have two of those because basically they were suitable for the socket that I had to run, but they were also still pretty affordable. CPU coolers come in all sizes and price points, and these were, I think they were acceptable for both. And they had they had some pretty good reviews as well in terms of sound. The most important thing about a cooler is, of course, that it cools properly. But that wasn't an issue with the stock cooler as well. It was just a noise, and these were reported as being pretty silent. And for the GPU cooler, I actually bought one of those ugly brown. I think it's Noctua, the fan brand. One of those smaller fan sizes, and installed that because everyone knows Noctua is pretty pricey, but they're silent as well. So if I have to replace any of the other fans, they'll be Noctua fans as well. But I think one of the most annoying things was that that Cooler Master fan has one of those big blocks which you have to put on top of it, and you tighten that with screws. So that's pretty okay. But then you have to install the fans with those clips, and I'm not made for that system. I've used it a couple of times now in the past as well, and those clips tend to shoot away and end up between the DIMM modules and things like that. But in the end, it works. But it's I'm hoping the industry finds a different solution for that in the foreseeable future.
Do you document your home lab, and have you done backups? Or like disaster recovery plans?
Yeah, I have some. I back up everything to my Synology NAS, which runs in the utility room or in the utility closet. And I have a offsite backup from my Synology, and I included all virtual machines only once, because in the end, it's not a huge disaster for me if I had to rebuild everything. Perhaps it even would even give me the opportunity to do some things differently. But I have at least one backup offsite, just so if only one thing goes corrupt, I can restore pretty easily without any meaningful impact. But if I'd have to start over, it would be a fun night or two, I guess.
What one piece of advice would you give for beginner home labbers?
I think the best piece of advice would be to just start small. You don't need that much to do a lot. Just think of what you want to achieve and what you need for that. But you can run multiple nested ESXi hosts on one. So if you want to do things with automation, feel free to do that. You don't need to have a big expensive server for that to achieve those goals. So just start small and see how it goes.
Jesper, thank you so much for joining, and have a wonderful day.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me, and perhaps see you in the foreseeable future.
You've been listening to the Home Labbers Podcast. Our passion is to interview the leading IT experts and get tech enthusiasts all the information they need to become an expert. So if you run At Home Enterprise Hardware and Software, and you like tinkering and self-learning, then you've found your new podcast. Thanks for listening. We hope you enjoyed the show. Make sure to like, rate, and review. And we'll be back soon. But in the meantime, hit up the website at viondoo.tech, on Twitter at #viondootrending, and #homelab. See you next time on the Home Labbers Podcast.